Donald Trump and his actions, which do not appear to be consistent with the United States Constitution, takes unilateral offensive military action without seeking the approval of the United States Congress.
There's the not the speaker, the House Democrat leader, the minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, talking about the unconstitutional actions of President Trump striking Iran. And I see a lot of this, honestly, from the left and the right right now. It's not really a partisan issue. People suggesting that Donald Trump acted outside of his constitutional authority to strike Iran. And so I do what I always do is I ask someone way smarter than me that understands the Constitution and loves the Constitution. Will Chamberlain back on with us right now. Senior counsel at the Article 3 Project on X at Will Chamberlain. Must follow. You can go to article3project.org. Will, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
So I'm sure you've seen a lot of the conversation surrounding the constitutionality of President Trump's strikes on Iran, their nuclear sites. What are your thoughts? Is he allowed to do it?
Yeah, he's allowed to do it. He's just allowed to do it by his core constitutional authority as commander in chief of the military. He's allowed to strike people. The alternative would be a world in which we could never strike first because we would require a full congressional vote to pass a joint resolution. That's wrong. Just I think he has core constitutional authority to do it. Secondly, a statutory authority to do it under the 2003 authorization for the use of military force, which says any country or anybody who did anything to aid or facilitate the September 11th terrorist bombings in 2001 is the president is authorized to use military force against. That has never been repealed. And there's plenty of information out there indicating that Iran at least hosted some members of Al-Qaeda or had some coordination with. I mean, they weren't having a starring role by any means, but they did enough to fall under the ambit of that statute. It's fine under the War Powers Act, because which has questionable constitutionality itself, because it's Congress's attempt to regulate the way in which the president conducts war or uses his war powers. But even if it is indeed constitutional, President Trump is in compliance with it because he's allowed to engage in strikes and then notify Congress about the strikes he's taken. And then there's this kind of 60-day window where they need to sanction what the president is doing. But since this was over in 48 hours, it's certainly constitutional in that regard. So really, I mean, the idea that there's a constitutional problem here is quite silly, honestly. President Trump did not declare war on Iran. That authority is vested in Congress, but there's a lot between declaring war and having any use of your military authority to strike at things that are an immediate threat to the country that the president is allowed and encouraged to do.
So, Will, one of the things you said there is important right there at the end when you talked about immediate threats to the country. There are a couple of things that I see somewhat consistently, at least in social media, about people pushing back on his constitutionality to do it. The first is that the precedent of saying, oh, Obama did this, does not mean that it was constitutional when he did it. So people are saying that that is not a worthy justification of these strikes. But also what you just said there, strikes directly on the United States of America. People are saying Iran was attacking Israel. They weren't attacking the United States. They aren't a threat to the United States. You're saying that in President Trump's assessment, he's right to say, yes, they are.
Yeah, sure. Of course. I mean, I think people are being a little blithe when they dismiss the possibility of Iran having a serious. They already have medium range ballistic missiles that can reach thousands of miles. It's not an intercontinental ballistic missile. They don't have it currently, but it's certainly not out of reach for them. I mean, 5 years left alone, they probably have an ICBM. And then within 5 years, too, unmolested by Israeli Mossad, they'd probably have a nuclear weapon. I mean, you know, I see a lot of people saying, well, Israel's been 2 to 3 years away from a nuclear weapon for 30 years. And it's like, well, maybe that has something to do with there's been a hostile intelligence agency constantly meddling with their affairs for 30 years, trying to kind of keep them just out of reach of the bomb. But that doesn't mean that that agency will always succeed, right? Like Mossad is not, you know, despite its remarkable achievements in this war, is not, you know, superhuman. So, yeah, there's obviously a concern from the American perspective, and it's not necessarily that Iran will just on its own unleash the one nuclear weapon they have, but the possession of that nuclear weapon means that a country that's a state sponsor of terror will be remarkably hard to constrain and deter. You know, the calculations that we have to do vis-a-vis Russia and Ukraine are because Russia has a massive nuclear deterrent. And so what we do vis-a-vis Ukraine, what we let them do in terms of responding to incursions in their own territory, all that is, you know, that's in the shadow of the nuclear question. the idea that we'd want to have that problem with Iran, which funds its proxies to shoot at us in Yemen, to shoot at our American ships in the Red Sea, to fund, you know, various rebel groups all over the region. The idea that we'd want the group that does that, that does so many destabilizing things, to have a nuclear deterrent against us. No, we don't want that. You guys are the bad guys. And we think you might use it too. Like, given how quickly you resorted to immediately lobbing ballistic missiles at Israel and just throwing it in at their civilian population. You know, they killed a single member of the Israeli military in the course of this 12-day war. One member. And they did it this morning by shooting at an apartment block where one member of the military happened to be sleeping off duty. Yeah. So this is not a regime to be trusted with nukes.
We are not the same. That is for sure. Speaking with Will Chamberlain right now, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, you also noted the declaration of war and how that is a constitutional power that rests with Congress. I've seen people in Congress saying that the president can't, you know, strike Iran and enter into this war. Is the military strike that the United States participated in very successfully? We're very proud of our Missouri B-2 bombers here in St. Louis. Are we now in the war? Did we declare war on Iran?
No, I think otherwise you get to this world where the president, any use of the military is a declaration of war. And I think that the actual way to understand that is a declaration of war is a declaration of war. That's the formal declaration that our government is in a state of war with another country and will mobilize against them. One second.
I'm curious if you think that.
Did I lose you?
No, I can still see you. If you can still hear us, we can.
Yeah, I can still hear you. Sorry.
Okay. You're fine. You're good with us right here. Do you feel like, are you leaning in constitutionally, legal authority, watching the Trump administration for maybe a constitutional line you're hoping that this president doesn't cross? Is he concerning you in any way?
No, I mean, war's over. I'm not worried at all. War's over. People are, you know, everybody. You know, got a lot of people on our side who are kind of more anti-war, where we're panicking a little too much. I'm also against regime change wars, also very hostile to the neoconservatives. But, you know, I defer to, I trust the guy I elected. I elected the guy for a reason. He's always been sensible in foreign policy. He's never gotten bogged down in a regime change war before. I didn't assume he was going to do that here.
Yeah.
And my assumption, everybody's assumptions have been borne out. I mean, not to joke, like, trust the plan, but the whole point is I defer to the president, right? Like, the guy was saying and has demonstrated good judgment on foreign policy and not that he's not a neoconservative.
Yeah.
So then you say, OK, we're going to put this guy in the chair and he has access to all the information now. So if he's making the decision that strikes are called for, I defer to that. I assume that because I elected this guy with a judgment I trust, if I were in his shoes, I'd come to the same conclusion.
Yeah. It's an absolute trust, but verify, trust him. And then if people could take a 48-hour breath, I'm wondering, just to wrap this up with you, Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now. You're very active on X, so you're engaged in these conversations, which I appreciate because you bring some sensibility and stabilization to the conversation, in my opinion. Do you think that the social media world, which is not real life, do you think that the panicking atmosphere there and the division that is kind of existing online, we did a poll yesterday. We had almost 500 votes in the poll yesterday and asked how many of our people supported President Trump's strike. 92% said yes. We thought it, based on our social media exposure, we thought it'd be like maybe a fourth would be against it, maybe a third. Is that division real or is that engagement farming?
There's engagement farming. There's also foreign bot armies that are trying to influence the influencers by liking posts that align with their priorities. That's the way to think about it. It's not that the influencers themselves are bought or are shilling or whatever. It's that there are foreign actors who want to influence the way that these influencers talk. And so when you, as an influencer, when you get thousands of likes on a post, you think, oh, I might be onto something, right? So it's a way to kind of organically move the influencers in the direction you want. That's the dynamic. I think it explains a way that a lot of people have moved into a position that is demonstrably not popular with the core MAGA base. It just might seem that way because you just get a lot of engagement on social media if you post that way.
Which is kind of scary because that's more nefarious than just annoying.
Yes, it is very, very, it's subtle and it's nefarious and it's strategic. It's exactly what I would recommend to a foreign actor who had a motivation like they're like, should we buy an influencer? It's like, no, you should buy a bot army and like all the influencers' posts. So they'll move the way you want them to without without them feeling like they're being dishonest or bought.
Yeah. Well, everybody needs to stay calm and give Trump 48 hours to see if he's not the dumbest person that you've ever voted for. I just can't handle it. Like, things are looking up. The alternative, yeah. The Kamala Harris alternative, my Lord in heaven, where would we be right now?
No. No, a massive victory for the Trump administration and the Israelis. Congratulations to them. A dominant one-sided performance and a wonderful use of American military and diplomatic power to end, you know, escalate a war, to de-escalate it and end it very quickly.
Amen to that. Will Chamberlain, always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Will Chamberlain, the senior counsel at the Article 3 Project. Will Chamberlain on X, article3project.org, to find out more about their efforts. It's a great organization. Very grateful for them and for his voice in the midst of bot armies. Are you serious? I mean, it is serious. It's super annoying. Let's take a quick break. We're going to have Wiggins America in about 15 minutes from now. So stay here for that. The YouTube live chat poll, need to have your thoughts on this. We had a great turnout yesterday. Curious about your thoughts on Donald Trump dropping the F-bomb, shaking his fist at the frustration he has post announcement of ceasefire, Israel launching bombs right away after it. He's like, what the heck are you doing? He said the F word. How do you feel about President Trump's public use of the F-bomb? Are you disappointed? Indifferent? Were you pumped? Andy Fry YouTube channel, go vote. We'll be right back. I'm feeling like a